I'm really spread out this morning. This is really good. Usually like here and there. So it's good to see you spread out across the whole way. Everybody good this morning?
Yeah.
Did you like that praise and worship?
Yeah.
That was excellent. From up here, I could hear you guys giving those shouts. That's great. All right, so last week, we began that step from hope to faith. So we just had begun taking that step. And what we had seen in that, I'm going to do a quick review for those of you that weren't here last time. So what we learned from that was that faith is the substance of things that we hope for. Faith is the substance of all of those things that are yours as believers in Jesus Christ. All of those things that belong to you because you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Faith is also that tangible reality of all those things that you hope for. And remember, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about what that means. Hope is that which ties your present struggles to your future deliverance. Now, last week I actually gave you a demonstration of that. I had the two different balloons. For those of you who weren't here, I had one balloon because the concept is we have present struggles. Everybody in life has present struggles. And we also have future deliverance. But hope is that cord which ties our present struggles to our future deliverance. So you are always tied to your future deliverance. So I had a balloon, and on that balloon it said present struggles. And I was holding that here. And then it was attached by a not-so-glorious-looking cord, a little ribbon. But it was a cord that represented hope. So it was attached by hope to another balloon, a gold balloon, which said future deliverance. And that was just kind of floating up there. So our present struggles are here. Our future deliverance is always tied to us by hope. But the reality is we want to bring that future deliverance. We don't want it in the future. We want to bring it to our present right now. How do we bring that future deliverance into our present? It's tied by that cord of hope. But what we saw last week is faith is that which reels in that cord of hope and brings that future deliverance so we can place it in our present. It'll displace the present with that spiritual reality. Make sense without the visual? We also learned a principle last week about faith. And that principle, and we'll see it in the verse that we looked at last week, but the principle is faith must be accompanied by actions. And we looked at that because I don't really like this translation, but I love this verse in this translation. In the Good News translation, it says in James chapter 2, verse number 17, "So it is with faith. If it is alone and includes no actions, then it's dead." So the Word of God itself is telling us that faith must be accompanied by actions. That's the principle that we have for faith. And then also last week, we began to just begin looking at the story of the Shunammite woman, the woman from 2 Kings chapter 4. So we're going to pick it up there. And the reason I chose the Shunammite woman is because there's so many things in her faith that really are excellent examples for us on foundations of what our faith should be. It's kind of like we should be walking in Shunammite kind of faith. So that's where we left off. Now, the Shunammite woman herself, if you remember, she was a woman of means. She was a pretty well-to-do woman. And she demonstrated her faithfulness to God by always being faithful to the man of God, Elijah. And so when Elijah would come through Shunan, she would always compel him to eat. And she convinced her husband to actually build within her house, to build a room for the man of God so that when he came through Shunan, he had a place to stay. He had a bed, he had a table, he had a lamp, he had a place that was his own. This was her way of demonstrating her faithfulness to God by taking care of the man of God. And we saw that the Shunannite woman, she opened up a place in her heart. She prepared a place in her house for the man of God. And because she prepared a place in her house for the man of God, God responded and met a need that she couldn't meet by herself. And he gave her a child, a son, which she didn't have. And the comparison that I want to see from that with us is that we also have prepared a place in this house. The Shunammite woman prepared a place in her house. We've prepared a place in this house for Jesus Christ. And because we've prepared a place in this house, we are then able to receive what God has given us. And God has given us all that we need in this present life. To the Shunammite woman, he gave what she needed. But because of our better covenant, God's given us everything we need for this life through Jesus Christ. So that's what we've seen so far from the Shunammite woman. And I guess we also did see that her son did grow. And as her son grew, there was a day that he went out into the fields, and he had a pain in his head. And so his father sent him back to his mother. And the story shows us that he died there in his mother's lap. And the last things that we were looking at last week were the Shunammite woman, her response to that situation. So let's pick up. There's still a little bit of review, but let's look at verses 18 through 21. This is 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. It says, "And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, 'My head, my head.' And so he said to his servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up from there and she laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out." So there's two things we see in these verses. There's two important things that this Shunammite woman did. That's harder to say than you realize. There's two things that she did which really were the foundations of her faith to see the miracle that she sees at the end. The first thing that we see that she does, and we looked at this last week, is she took the body of her son and she placed his body, she placed that which was her son, the promise that was given to her, her gift from God, she placed it in a very specific place. She put it on the bed of the man of God. This is her way of saying, "Man of God, this is your problem. Now you fix it." We need to do the same thing. We need to put our problems, do what the Shunammite woman did. Take your problems, take your worries, take your frustrations, take your disappointments, take your failures and leave them with him. Because the reality is, all the promises of Jesus Christ that are yours and mine, they're his promises. And because they're his promises, it's his problem. He will take care of it if we'll take our hands off and leave it with him. We need to leave it with him. We have a tendency to pick up our problems and carry those problems around ourselves. And when we do that, it's like we're waving a white flag of surrender on our situation. Don't take ownership of the problems in your life. Leave them with Jesus. Let me give you an example. There was a person that came to me this week, and they said that they had symptoms, that they were worried that it was cancer. And so they said, as they were talking about this, and they said, "Pray for me about this." They said, "I'm high risk for this kind of cancer because of this. And I'm high risk for this kind of cancer because of this. And I'm high risk for this kind of cancer because of this. There's three reasons that I'm high risk for this kind of cancer." That's taking ownership of the cancer. Leave it with Jesus Christ. You don't have to carry it. To do anything else is like picking up that white flag and saying, "Look, this is my problem, world, and I'm giving in to it." Now, the good news is they already found out that they don't have cancer, so thank you, Jesus, for that. But the point is, don't take ownership of the problems in your life, because the promises that you have in Jesus Christ are his promises, and thus they are his problems. He will take care of them. Now, here's the second thing that we see that the Shunammite woman does. Here's the second thing. And this is taking that great step of faith. The Shunammite woman shut the door on her problem. Close the door on anything in your life that is in opposition to the Word of God and the promises for you. Close the door on them. Shut the door, just like she did. Faith requires action. Part of our action, part of our faith action is not dwelling on the problem. It's moving forward in faith. Now look, even when you do that, even when you close the door, sometimes it's not going to appear that anything is any different. It's not going to appear that anything's changed. I guarantee you, when the Shunammite woman closed the door on her problem, it didn't look any different to her. Her son was still dead. He's in the room and he was still dead. But we take our problems, we leave them at the throne of Jesus Christ. We move forward believing for those unseen things. That is giving. It is giving that substance, that tangible reality to those things that we hope for. The Shunammite woman She didn't dwell. She didn't linger. She moved forward. She shut the door, and she moved forward in faith. That's what we have to do. Close the door on the things that are contrary to the Word of God. How often do we do the opposite? Sometimes what we do is we sit in that room with the problem. The example that we have from her is we're supposed to shut the door on the problem and move forward. Our tendency is to sit there with the problem. Now, we might moan about it. We might complain about it. We might even throw a temper tantrum about it. We may even raise our fists in anger towards God. But the Shunammite woman, all she did is she didn't dwell on what was. She closed the door and she moved forward. She shut the door and she kept going forward. She closed the door. She did the right thing. She closed the door. She left it behind. She left it where it belonged. It belonged with the man of God. Close the door on the things in our lives that are contrary. Again, our tendency is we tend to close the door while we're still in the room with the problem. That closes us off to all of the faith results that we desire. Leave it with Jesus. Close the door and move on. Now, here's another really important point for the Shunammite woman. She didn't get all dramatic at what was taking place. You know, we live in a culture that loves drama. Now, you can't watch any TV. If you watch any reality TV, it is nothing but accentuating drama. Donna and I were watching a football game yesterday, and there was an advertisement on for some reality program. It was 30 seconds of nothing but yelling, shouting, crying, and lots of drama on display. The world's teaching us to live our lives with drama. I guarantee you this. Drama is at odds with Shunammite kind of faith. Donna agreed with me. I'm telling you this. Drama is waging war against your faith. Because drama focuses on yourself. Drama is focused inward instead of focused on the promises of Jesus Christ and the things that he's done for us. Close the door on drama. All right, let's go to verse number 22. Man, you guys are quiet this morning. I mean, more so than usual. You were like really loud for praise and worship. Did you use all your energy then? All right. Al, you're excused. Since you said yeah, you're excused. Oh, it's Brandon. All right, Brandon, you're excused. Al, you got to get loud. All right, so verse number 22. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back." The Shunammite woman, she had faith from the very start of the matter. She put action to her faith. She was reeling in her deliverance from the very beginning. She was reeling in that cord of hope and bringing that deliverance in from the very start of the matter. She was not lax in her response, and she wasn't tentative either. It says that she ran to her future deliverance. She was resolute. She would not be deterred from her quest for deliverance. That's the way that we're supposed to be. We need to have that same kind of resolution when we face the things that we have. What is our attitude? When we face the present struggles of our life, what is our attitude? Does it look like hers? What does our attitude look like? Because usually what happens is we need somebody to point us in the right direction and kind of shoo us on the way that we're supposed to go. That's not the way that the Shunammite woman was. She was resolved. She would not settle for anything less than the deliverance that God had planned for her. You and I need to determine now, before you ever face whatever situations might be coming your way, you need to determine now that no matter what you face, you're going to run to His promises with that same kind of resolve. Because if you wait, you have to make that determination now. You can't wait till you're faced with the situation and then try to make that determination. Because I guarantee you, if you try to make that determination at the time you're facing it, if you haven't already made that resolve, your resolve will wane. We have to be at the start, at the very beginning, making our decision now that we'll be resolute on all things. We also see that the Shunammite woman, I don't know why it's harder to say this week than last. I got another week of the Shunammite woman, so this is going to be a lot of stumbling. We also saw in there that the Shunammite woman, we see that she told her husband everything that she's going to do. Part of faith is speaking it and saying it out loud. You know, we need, just like her, we need to proclaim, and listen to this, we need to proclaim to other people who are also operating in faith. We need to proclaim to other people operating in faith what we believe, and we need to proclaim to them what we are going to receive, what we're taking possession of in faith. We need to speak those things. The Shunammite woman, what she said is, I'm going, but I'm coming back. You see, the Shunammite woman, she already knew. In her mind, she already knew that she was coming back, and she was coming back with deliverance. It's the same thing that we see when you look at the story of Abraham and Isaac. When Abraham was told to offer up, to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, that's a very poignant moment that you see demonstrated when they're standing there at the foot of Mount Moriah, and Abraham says to the young men who are there, stay here with the donkeys, because the lad and I, we're going yonder and we're going to worship, but we are coming back to you. You see, the faith of Abraham also had a vision. It's important what we speak, but it's also important to have faith's vision. He had a vision that was beyond the problem that he saw in front of him, because he knows he's going to sacrifice his son. But his faith vision is able to look beyond the moment and look beyond what's in front of him and to see the promise of God on the other side. We have to have that same kind of faith vision. The Shunammite woman, she knew that she was destined to be right back here again. And she was destined to be right back here again with her son alive. She saw it. She knew it. She had faith's vision. And so she walked in it and she received it. When you and I look ahead, what do we see? I mean, when you look ahead at whatever the problems, whatever the issues, whatever the needs are that you have in your life, when you look ahead, what is it that you see? Do we look ahead? And when we look ahead, do we see ourselves standing in that place of impossible victory through Jesus Christ? Or when we look ahead, do we see all the what-ifs of failure? Faith has to have faith's vision. It's what you say, and it's got to be what you speak as well. The Shunammite woman, she wasn't looking ahead and seeing a funeral for her son. She was looking ahead, and she was seeing the power of God working through the man of God. And you know what? You and I have a better covenant than she did. She said that she was going out in faith and that she was coming back in deliverance. When you and I look ahead to what's in front of us, when we look at the matters that are in front of us, what do we see? When you look at the present struggle that you're involved in right now, does your faith vision look ahead and see victory? What are the results that you see? Because faith speaks, and faith has to have faith's vision. All right, so let's take a break from the story of the Shunammite woman for just a moment. And let's go back to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, because I want to get some more insights on exactly what faith is. Now, we've already looked at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Hebrews 11, 1 says that faith is the substance. It's the tangible reality of those things that we hope for. Faith is truly that reeling in the realities from the spiritual realm, reeling them in and bringing them into our present reality, bringing them into this realm. That's what faith truly is. But now, let's go down a couple of verses. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3, it says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now listen to this. So that the things which are seen were not made by the things that were visible. The things that you see in this life, they're not made by the things that are visible. So what were they made from? They were made from those unseen realities in the spiritual realm. Here's our second lesson of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at another one next week. But here's our second lesson of faith. Faith understands that there is unseen realities in the spiritual realm. And that those unseen realities in the spiritual realm are where our deliverance comes from. It's the unseen realities of the spiritual realm that displace the seen realities of this natural world by faith. Does that make sense? No? All right, let me say it again. Faith understands, faith knows that there is things that you cannot see. The natural mind, the natural senses only perceive these things right here that we can touch, that we can feel. But faith understands that there is unseen realities. That means everything that is yours. We talked last week about being a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What does Jesus have? Everything. You're a joint heir with Him. Last week we looked at that as being like a joint bank account. If you have got a joint bank account with somebody, it doesn't matter if you put anything in or not. You still have equal access to it. That's what it is to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He has everything. So all of those unseen, everything that you have need of in this present life is already established for you in the spiritual realm. But it's unseen. You can't see it with the natural. Faith understands that. And faith understands that it's those unseen things which in faith will displace the things that we see. If your bank account tells you that you are broke, your faith seeing those unseen things, you stand on the word of God, and those promises which are yours, which are unseen, in faith, you reel them in, and they're going to displace the present reality. The unseen things of faith, of the spiritual realm, will displace the seen things of this realm. Does that make sense? If I tell you something that doesn't make sense, just stop me. I'm sure I can confuse you even further. So it's faith that moves things. Faith is what moves the things that are yours because you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Faith is what moves those things from one realm, the spiritual realm, to the other realm, the natural realm. Because it's faith that sees those unseen things and knows that the unseen things are greater than the seen things because the spiritual reality, the spiritual realm, is the greater reality. Amen? What you see here looks like this is the most tangible thing. But everything that you see, including our bodies, is going to burn up and be gone. But the things of the spiritual realm, they are forever. They are eternal and they are in you. It's faith that brings them from the spiritual realm to this natural realm. This is what we're called to be and this is what we're called to do. As people of faith, we have to understand that faith understands that principle. All right, so let's go down a few more verses. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him." Without faith, you're not going to see the results in anything. It's faith that brings that which you hope for, which hope ties you to those things in the spiritual realm. Faith is what brings that which you hope for into your present reality. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, there is no movement of those things from one reality to the other reality. Without faith, you can't take those things from the spiritual reality to the natural reality. Faith is what's required to get those things done. Now, here's an example that we see from the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman, if we remember that last verse we were looking at, verse number 22, at the very end of that verse, it emphasized the fact that she was coming to God. She was diligently seeking after the man of God. So symbolically, she was diligently going after the things of God. What it says in verse number 22 is that I may run to the man of God. She is coming to God. Now, in verse number, let's go back to Hebrews 11, verse number 6. In Hebrews 11, 6, where we see it says, comes to God. He who comes to God. Comes to God. When you see that, I looked it up in the Greek. And in the Greek, what comes to God means? Comes to God means draw near to God. That means, this is an important element of faith for us. Draw near to God. The important element of faith is we have to put action to our faith. And our action is our coming to Jesus Christ. It's when we run to Jesus Christ. It's when we run to His Word and to His promises. When we run to Him, we're going to see faith in action. This is how we see those things coming from the spiritual realm to that natural reality in our lives. Have you ever heard, does the phrase draw near to God sound familiar to you? So that's one of the first, my pastor, Jim Mankey, he, when I first got saved and I was working at Yes FM, he had a program on every morning at 11 o'clock, he had a program. JYM, sorry. Every morning he had a program on, and every morning he started his program with James 4:8. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw nearer to you. That's the principle that's at work here. When it says in Hebrews 11, 6, come to God, this means draw nearer to God. When you draw nearer to God, when you are chasing after Him, when you are closing in, when you are rushing after Him, just like the Shunammite woman did, the end result of it is that God is there and that His reality and His promises are drawing near to you. It is deliverance being reeled in by our faith. The Shunammite woman, she actually stated her intentions. The Shunammite woman said again, that I may run to the man of God, that I may run to the man of God. When you're facing your present need, your present struggles, do you run to God? Are we running to Him? Or do we do what I talked about earlier? Do we tend to shut ourselves into the room? Shut ourselves in the very room that we're supposed to close off? Do we shut ourselves into that room where we're locked into that room with the physical evidence of the death of the promises that are ours and that He's given to us? You see, the Shunammite woman, she left the physical evidence of her death, her son's body. She left it there in the room. She closed the door. What is it that we do? Do we run to God or do we close ourselves in? Do we shut ourselves in to that very room? Because I'll tell you what, if you're trying to operate in faith, it is really hard to operate in faith when you're locked in a room and staring at death. That's why God tells us to close the door and to move forward. Faith is action. You close the door and you move forward. You keep going forward in Him. I also want you to notice that for the Shunammite woman, for her, one of the things that she did, she didn't share her problem that she shut in. She didn't tell it to those that did not operate in faith. In other words, her husband. She didn't say to the one who was not operating in faith, she didn't say what the problem was. Listen, don't tell your problems to people who are not operating in faith. Because all that does is keep you in the room. It keeps you in the room that you are supposed to close, shut the door on, leave behind you, and move forward in faith. When you tell your problems to people that are not operating in faith, you bring them into the room. You open the doors, you invite them in, and you return to the room yourself. There you are in the very room that you were supposed to close the door on, leave behind you, and move forward. And now you're in the room with people that are probably stirring your doubts and your fears. This is not faith in action. This is obsessive behavior that puts you in a place that you're not supposed to be, at a time you're not supposed to be there, when you're supposed to be operating in faith, in action, moving forward. Don't share your problems with those that are not operating in faith. Don't share your problems with those who are not operating in faith. It's one of the big mistakes that we make. Here's the other thing that the Shunammite woman did. She didn't keep going back to the room and opening the door to check and see if her son was still dead. She's not opening the door, looking in. Yep, still dead. That's crazy. There's no way you can build your faith by doing that. Every time you open up the door to check on the situation that you are supposed to close the door on and move forward in faith, every time you open the door, you're just feeding your own anxieties and your own fears and your own doubts. You're not building up the faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's look at verse number 23. 2 Kings 4:23. So he said, this is her husband. So he said, why are you going to him today? It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. So her husband, he's considering the fact that you don't go see the man of God unless it's one of the days that are prescribed by the religious law to go. Otherwise, you don't go to the man of God. Now, if you remember last week, I was telling you about Shunan. Shunan is that little town. And Shunan is that place that this is where they live. And Shunan actually means sleep. And I thought that was very appropriate because that's what we tend to do. We tend to faith walk. We tend our faith walk. We sleepwalk through it. We sleepwalk through our faith lives rather than keeping our faith in the things we honestly don't really see. You're not going to like this. We really don't see faith as a relevant part of our daily lives. I mean, we talk about it a lot, but the reality is, how often are we actually living lives that demonstrate faith? I'm sure this annoys you. I have no idea why this will not stay in my ear today. I can see you guys once in a while as I'm talking. I can see you guys doing this. So I know it's sliding off. We don't live our lives like we honestly believe that faith, because we can talk about it, but we're not doing anything in our lives that truly demonstrates that we believe that that's true. Because the faithful person, the person who is filled with faith and believes, he's going to have continual, tangible, corresponding demonstrations of faith flowing from him on a daily basis. Now, there's something else that the man, that the husband says. I love it that the husband says that she should not be, or he questions why he's going to, why she's going to see the man of God at that time. So the husband says, why are you going now to see the man of God? Listen, any time that somebody questions you when you're in the midst of your battle or in the midst of the present struggle that you're facing with, anytime somebody questions you, all you have to do is say what faith already knows. It is well. That is all that you have to say. That suffices, and that covers all the bases that you would have. It is well. I'd even go a step farther. I would say to you that faith says all is well even when you don't feel like it in yourself. Faith in you still says it is well, even when you don't feel it yourself. Isn't that being a hypocrite? Don't I become a hypocrite if I say to other people it is well when I don't feel it myself? No. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, then your spirit already knows that in faith all is well, because your spirit is tied to the heavenly realms by the Holy Spirit. You are right now seated with Jesus Christ in victory in everything. I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, this is the way that I see it in my mind. When I think of the Holy Spirit, I see the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is in our spirit. So I see the Holy Spirit as that great spiritual umbilical cord of light. It ties our spirit directly to the throne of God. So you are right now seated in his victory. You are seated with him in victory. That's the truth. That's the reality. Whether you realize it right now or not, that is present reality. Amen. That's why we can say, it is well. That's why faith can always say, it is well. There is an eternal part. There's an eternal part of you, your spirit, which knows in faith that all is well despite how you feel. So you can still say, it is well, because in faith, your spirit knows that it's true. You can say, all is well. Because otherwise, you're just going by feelings. Feelings are emotions. Faith has absolutely nothing to do. Faith is not based at all in emotions. If I believe that the unseen things of the spiritual realm displace the seen things of the natural realm, if I believe that, then I can say it is well no matter what the situation or the circumstances. In fact, I would say to say anything else is spiritual hypocrisy. Because the spirit man, ever present with the kingdom, knows that all is well. Because you're seated with him in victory right now, today. All right, there's one final thing I want to make on this verse. So she says, it is well. I looked this up, I don't know why, because I never look at the Orthodox Jewish Bible. But for some reason, I wanted to know from the Jewish perspective, I wanted to know, what did that mean? And in the Orthodox Jewish Bible, it is well, it's just written this way. It says, shalom, peace, be with you. And in fact, that's even backed up by Young's literal translation, because Young's literal translation says, peace, be to you. So the Hebrew word shalom peace, the Hebrew word shalom peace means welfare, it means health, it means prosperity, and it means peace. This is what the Shunammite woman said. She said in the face of her son's death, she said shalom, peace, peace, prosperity, welfare, health. Does that make her a hypocrite? No, that makes her a woman of faith who is putting action to her faith by speaking the spiritual reality, because she knows the spiritual reality is greater than the things that she sees. It's more true than the things that she sees in the natural world, in her natural reality. That's what faith is. She spoke peace to her husband. But of more importance, she spoke peace to her situation. When the situation didn't line up with the promises of Jesus, when the situation didn't line up with the promise that she had from the man of God, when the situation didn't line up, she spoke peace to the situation. What you say does matter. It's not hypocrisy. It's faith in action. Speaking is action. Now let's look at verse number 24. Verse number 24 says, then she saddled a donkey, and she said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace unless I tell you. Once you take faith action, you have to be deliberate in your faith. Once you take action, you have to be deliberate. You cannot hesitate. And we'll pick up that thought next Sunday. So that's your cliffhanger for next week. I told you we wouldn't get through all this in two Sundays. Are you guys understanding? What? Yeah. Only when it works to my advantage. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your word and that it's true. And I thank you that even in my humble ability to share your word, I thank you that your word leaves with each one of us as we leave today. And that your word brings life. And that all the verses that we read, that Holy Spirit, you bring it back to each one of our remembrances. And as you bring it back to our remembrances, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you show each one of us individually. You speak to that verse to our very lives. That each one of us gets revelation on what that means and what that means for us. For we thank you and praise you. We thank you that we do. We have hope in you. And hope is that which ties us to that future deliverance. And faith is what reels it in. And I thank you and I praise you that as we continue going through this word, that you continue to stir within us the desire and the knowledge that with our faith, we can reel in that cord of hope and bring those deliverances that are reality right now in the spiritual realm and make them the realities of this present life that we live in. And so we give you the praise and the glory. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen.